not only is the holiday all about the children, but the more that we can bring the children into the fold of all the things we do, from cooking to caroling or any of those things that you do as part of the holiday season, including your children in that, will just help them appreciate the season more and, of course, bring you all together just that much more.
On the calendar, Christmas is just a one-day holiday. However, for many families, Christmas is a week-long celebration that involves traveling to see friends and relatives all across the country. Not only is it an exciting time for children, it's also an opportunity to help them learn about the importance of giving and receiving, as well as family traditions and rituals, and how this mythical Santa will find them no matter where they are. On today's Sound Living, involving children in Christmas. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. K-State Research and Extension Child Development Specialist Bradford Wiles encourages parents to allow children to be part of the gift-giving process, selecting the gift, wrapping it, and if possible, giving it to them and watching them open it. He says this helps children understand that other people get joy from the same sorts of things that give them joy.
They don't really understand how valuable that giving component is and how, in all truthfulness, it's much more fun for them to see someone get a gift that they love and enjoy it than even their gifts that they love. And as you become adults, that becomes a little bit more clear. But in childhood, it's harder. So one of the things that I always encourage families to do is, particularly if you and your child have a cousin or another child that you want to give a gift to allow your child to choose that gift. And, you know, one of the ways that you can do that is select three or four different ones and then have your child choose from that, because obviously your child, particularly when they're in, you know, a little bit younger, is just going to choose the gift that they want. So that gives them some input and some buy-in into the process. When you get home, you want to wrap it with them. You want to show them how to do it. It's okay if the wrapping looks terrible. That's okay. Everybody understands that. When you get a gift that's wrapped terribly, but it was wrapped by a child, that's great. Nobody's going to scorn you for not having a perfectly wrapped gift. It's going to be much more valuable and personal to them.
They're going to know that it was wrapped by the child.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so clear, right? I mean, unless you're like me, where mine still looks like a child. But the point is, there's this opportunity to teach and learn as you're wrapping gifts, and you can engage with your child about what they're doing, and then just that great bond that you get when you're working together on something. And then finally, if at all possible, if you can have your child give the gift directly to the recipient, and if at all possible, have the person open it in the presence of your child, they can then see how happy that gift makes them, and they can share in that joy. And oftentimes it can be something that they can share together. Obviously, that's not the purpose, but it's really fun for children to be able to go through that entire process from choosing the gift all the way to giving. And it really sets the stage for this social-emotional competence, for this understanding that other people get joy from the same sorts of things that you get joy from. One of the things about early childhood is very egocentric. Young children really don't understand that other people don't exist for their pleasure. But this gift-giving process can really help them understand that not only do other people give them pleasure, but that they can also give other people pleasure. And that's really fulfilling.
How important is it to have some conversations, maybe before you head off to grandma's or some other relatives, about receiving gifts? Because oftentimes kids are not real good at hiding their true emotions. And if they get, you know, the same Star Wars character three times in a row, by the third time, they're getting a little frustrated.
Right. We've all experienced this, I think. I think we've all at least seen it. Some of us have done it. And so just have a conversation and say, when people give you a gift, they want to give it to you. Be grateful that you got anything. You know, say thank you, of course. They should always say thank you and be thankful. But that gives you an opportunity to donate that toy to a child who doesn't have any toys. It gives you an opportunity to learn about gift giving and receiving and how those dynamics work. A lot of people understand children, but it still hurts the gift giver's feelings when they got the gift that didn't give the reaction they want. Because let's face it, giving is better than receiving, but especially so when the gift is well received. So with young children, talking with them about being grateful for whatever it is they get, and especially that if they're getting something that they've already gotten, there are ways to fix that. Either give it to someone else, exchange it, give it to their siblings. You know, it sounds so cliche, but the thought is what counts. Whoever gave your child that gift didn't have to do that. They just don't have to. So it's really incumbent upon us as parents to let our children know that they are fortunate to receive what they're getting and to be grateful for that. I wish I could say, and if you have that conversation, your kid will never look at a gift and go, oh man, this again. But you can help them try to understand that that's not what they want to do. But let's not forget, these are children and they're very excited. You know, when they're opening gifts, their emotional regulation drops to near zero because it's so exciting.
Well, then there's a lot of anticipation because they see these packages starting to appear underneath the tree and they know that Santa is coming and they know what's on their list and they really want to jump in there and just kind of start ripping and tearing. And I guess at a certain age, that's probably okay, but there also maybe needs to be some ground rules as to how we're going to do the present opening.
Absolutely. So having conversations about taking turns, I mean, the opening and the giving and receiving are perfect opportunities to really lay out how you're going to go through this process. And one of the things that we know in early childhood is so important is preparing children for what to expect. So it's really good to be able to have a conversation about how you're going to do it. Like if it's four of you, if it's mom, dad, and two kids, let's say, or mom and three kids, mom can say, Darren, you're going to open a present first, then Jenny, you're going to open a present second, and then Billy, you're going to open a third present, and then Billy, you're going to start again, and we'll go back through the other way so that it's always fair. And, you know, it really helps children understand, and it also teaches some respect, too, where you pay attention to what someone else is doing before you engage in your own. Modeling these things is so important. Children learn from what we as adults do. And so if we as adults take the time to explain the parameters for what's going to happen and then live by them, children will understand that those things are important as well. It's not immediate, but it's a long-term commitment to not only explaining what is going to happen, but being consistent in following your description of it.
If you're traveling over the holidays, which a lot of families do, is there maybe a need to have a conversation about the fact that we're going to be having Christmas several times throughout the holiday?
Yeah, Jeff. I mean, I'm in that boat right now, as a matter of fact. I will be having Christmas in Boise, Idaho, and I will also be having Christmas in Manhattan, Kansas. And it's important to let your children know that your tree will still be there when you get home and that Santa visits everybody's house. I do want to say for the adult listeners out there, my parents are very clear to me that the day that I believed that Santa didn't exist, Santa would stop bringing presents. So I encourage people of all ages to remember that Santa exists. And there's some things that go along with that. There's some really interesting questions about child development and Santa and, you know, are we lying to our kids? But, you know, in the end, every culture has their own mythology. And if the myth that we're going to believe is that somebody comes and gives presents and leaves them for good little girls and boys, I'm okay with that one. I think Santa is essentially a state of mind for all of us. So being able to help children understand that all the presents will be where they're going to be. And if you do want to separate it, like in my family, we'll have presents with the grandparents, but then when we come home, we'll have our own family presents. And Santa will have tended to both of those. But, you know, we're very fortunate. I mean, I really want to encourage everyone to recognize during this time that there are some families for whom a present is a big deal. And we're really fortunate that we even get to travel to go anywhere. But preparing your family for that, also preparing them for being in the airport. And then also, even I would say as important, is preparing them for what to expect when they get to wherever it is, because they're likely going to be sleeping in a strange bed. They might be confined to a room with other children as well that they're not used to. They might be in mom and dad's room.
Schedules are going to change.
Schedules are going to change. Right. Nap times might or might not happen. There could be interruptions. And of course, there's always the adult dynamics that fortunately children don't get exposed to much. There's always a little bit of bleed over. There are all these things that go on at the adult level that children just don't need to know about. But we want to be really, really intentional about not letting all those family dynamics bleed over into how we're treating our children. To be clear, the holiday, while it is about Christ and Christmas, it's really the children's holiday. The purest form of joy is from them during that time. And so as adults, if we can just really try to be intentional about making sure that not just the opening of the packages, but the whole process is meant to help them learn and enjoy and be happy, we'll all be much happier.
This does build a sense of family tradition, in a sense?
Yes. There's a significant body of research out there indicating that the family rituals, these family traditions, these rituals are really, really important and actually will protect against risk factors of things that we wouldn't even think about, like academic achievement or risky behaviors, things like early drinking or early drug use. But families that do these things together, that spend time together during the holidays and have these specific rituals that they do, that spills over into all sorts of other domains where they feel like part of a family, part of a unit. And so there's a trust and a reciprocity that comes along with that. And we know that those things are really important. So it really doesn't matter how you celebrate the holidays, as long as what you do is together as a family. And that's fine if your family is you and your child, and that's it. That's okay. And one of the best things you can do for a child is allow them at a reasonable age, 4, 5, to choose something that they want to do. So maybe it's a specific song that they want to sing every year. Like maybe it's Jingle Bells, right? Who knows? Or maybe you go and get whatever the tree topper is going to be and let them choose that. And that will be the tree topper until either it breaks or they leave the house and take it with them or whatever. But really including them and building them into your family traditions is just such a great way to protect them and bring them even closer into the family. And don't forget your own family traditions and your own ways that you go about celebrating the holidays.
And they will build memories. I can still remember my favorite gift, electric Monday Night Football.
And that's the thing. These memories last a lifetime. And even better, Jeff, your parents remember those things for their lifetime. They remember watching your face as you got the football game. And so it's really, really important for us to remember that these events, nobody's going to care if your child didn't finish his potatoes. That's not something to get bent out of shape about. Those sorts of things are not what it's about. It's really recognizing that big picture, that those family events are the things that you're going to remember for a really long time. And some of those gifts are priceless. So it's an opportunity for us as human beings to enjoy each other's company and to celebrate just the tremendous opportunity that the season provides for us to be with friends and family and to be giving during that time.
That's K-State Research and Extension Child Development Specialist Bradford Wiles. For more information on child development and fostering healthy relationships, contact the nearest county or district extension office or visit the extension website www.ksre.ksu.edu. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.